Oh, you're a historian for this.
Yeah,
Oh,
yes, this
I
is for
see.
the Historical Society.
Yeah.
Yeah. Today is June 28th or 29th. June
Yes,
29th,
yes.
2016. This is a Grand Canyon Historical Society oral history interview.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And we're at the home of Tom Martin. That's me. And today we are interviewing
I'm Etta Jang.
Etta, how do you spell your last name?
J is in John, A is in Apple, N is in Nancy, G is in George,
And how do you spell your first name?
E is in Edward, T is in Tom, T is in Tom, A is in Apple.
Excellent. And with you are your son and daughter.
You're right. I still have one more. He can't come, so.
Okay. Could you introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, I'm Deanna Jang. So D as in David, E as in Edward, E as in Edward, A as in Adam, N as in Nancy, A as in Adam, and Jang, Jang.
And your brother?
I'm Dana Jang, D as in decadent, A as in apple, N as nefarious, A as in apple, J as in jaguar, A as in apple, N as in nefarious, and G as in to gorgeous.
Excellent. Very good. Well, thank you. We are a day away from the remembrance and memorial of the 1956 air disaster. And Etta's husband, James, was on that flight. Would you mind to share with me about your husband, about James?
He was representing Fluor, Fluor, an engineering company corporation in LA. He was on his way to inspect the copper refractory, which wasn't operating for 2 years. So he was gonna check and see if he will make it work, so they will hire more people to work to and open that plant. So that's what was his trip about. And she wasn't born. She was born after she was born in March. And then he was only 8 years old. So he remember his father a lot because he's old enough to realize all the, all the time he spent with him and my number two. But mostly he got the most remembrance of his father is this one. Yeah.
How did you meet Jim?
Oh, we meet him at a mutual, what was that? Public, what kind of to help the Chinatown. We were, I forgot the name of that place.
It wasn't the
It was,
YMCA. Was it part of the YMCA?
yeah, but that was, I was representing the YWCA and True Sunshine Church about, getting some help for the people that usually work with the parent, the mother being sewing as occupation. So there were a lot of children in those area. So we're trying to get some, open some, they can drop off the kids and work at the job. But that was, yeah.
Where was this?
In San Francisco.
Nice. And do you remember the year?
What?
Do you remember the year?
No, I don't remember. I had a treatment which knocked off all my memory. There are certain things I don't, they knock it out. It's
Okay.
gone. I was mad. I called the doctor. Don't ever give that treatment to another human being. It's hard on them not to remember.
Yes.
It was bad.
Yes.
I threatened the doctor. I said, you shouldn't even practice that kind of That was all. That was my opinion.
Yes. So, if you wouldn't mind, what I'd like to hear...
I was a normal human being. I go to a bilingual, you know, Asian school in the evening. And they taught me to memorize pages and pages of things. So I have a good memory of training. But that thing knocked me out and it really bothered me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else do you remember about your husband? Good times.
Well, that's where we met, was at this meeting, mutual meeting. And that was all I remember.
Okay.
And then he is an engineer, so his mother wished he was a doctor of medicine instead of a PhD, but his mother didn't understand engineering. So
was she in San Francisco as
Yeah,
really?
His mother is
wonderful.
Really upset. She's very kind. Both the grandparents all like this one, remember? He's spoiled rotten all when he was born.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
And his middle name is Joseph.
His middle name is Joseph. But he always used J-J-J-Jang.
J-J-J.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And where did Joseph come from in the family?
I don't know. I don't know that part about it because their mother was already changed the name from... actually, the Chinese come over with paper. So actually, they were Gu Yu instead of Jang. There were no Jang, but the paper was Jang. So his father, even when he got his degree in Minnesota, he put HU to remember that was his real last name.
Nice.
But he said Wu, you know, Seng Wu. So we put H-U and J-A-N-G.
Nice, nice. And so what was the original family name, the heritage
Lee.
Name?
Lee.
Okay.
Yeah.
Italy.
Italy was my maiden name, okay. L-E-E.
Yeah. And what was James' original family name before it was changed? Do you remember?
No, I didn't, because... Bak Niu is his Chinese name. So he used Wu because that's the paper that they come in with Jang.
How do you spell Bak Niu? I'm probably not pronouncing it right.
We put it H-U to make the sound.
Oh, this is Deanna. Who is the family name? And then she's saying his Chinese name that he was given when he was born. And I don't know if there's an English spelling for it. She may know the characters.
Cool. All right. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's why he go to school with all these Mandarin people. So Wu in Mandarin is H-U. So that's why he in his diploma, he put H-U-J-A-N-G, Jang.
Okay. This is Dana. Actually, I encountered early in my career a distant relative who went to Stanford University, and her name was Deirdre Wu. And I asked my Uncle Roland to verify that to me, and he did say they are relatives. W-U was the spelling.
Nice. Okay. And did James go to Stanford then?
Yeah, he goes to...
No, is Deanna. He went to UC Berkeley. For undergraduate, and one of his roommates was Victor Sun Young, who was in Bonanza. I don't know, maybe Mom could tell more about that.
About what?
About his going to UC Berkeley and being roommates with Victor Sun Young.
Well, he came over 6 years old, so he was very angry that they went through with a paper name, you know. It upset him a whole lot because when there was a depression in San Francisco, the mother left him with his father and took Roland and Lincoln back. And then his father couldn't take care of him, put him in Zhongmei home. And It's like a for children who parents can't take care of. So he's very upset over that incident. So I think, but mother couldn't take all three of them. And the father thought he's old enough to be careful by the father, but the father is not. So that's why he was in Zhongmei home.
Well, this is Dana. When my mother referred to Lincoln and Roland, they are my father's two younger brothers. Roland is the second, and Lincoln is the youngest. As far as his collegiate, his collegiate career was, he went to UC Berkeley, and then he needed to get some chemistry credits, so he went to University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, and then he got a PhD at University of Minnesota. And the other thing, going back to Victor Sen Young, who played the house boy chef in Bonanza as Hop Singh, he was a roommate of my father's at UC Berkeley. So
yeah,
that's about all
yeah,
I know.
Yeah. He has a lot of friends in Berkeley. And
clearly a remarkable man.
He's very popular. He joined the Boy Scout. And they have a troop. Dana just have the best friend of their father is having a 100-year-old celebration of his birthday of 100 years old.
Wow, wonderful.
So he sent their old picture of a Boy Scout troop. So he processed that as a gift for this Uncle Eddie.
Nice.
So that was nice. And number two is at his party this weekend. So that's why he represents us, and he did the gift for me. So,
wonderful.
Yeah. And she wasn't born until after the accident. Yeah, yeah. He didn't know she was coming. Which
like
was a girl for me, you know, of being a boy, you know. So he would be very happy to welcome. So my husband, a good friend at work, signed her birth certificate, A.C. Goodman. You know, he signed that she was born from, you know, the co-worker. Yeah.
Nice. Wonderful.
Yeah. So Andy D. was named after Goodman's wife.
Do you remember how you were notified about the tragedy?
No, it was a shock. We got it from the company. Dr. Hainsworth called me all of a sudden and said, oh, did you hear about the crash? I said, no, what crash? You know, so they scold him at work. He should come over and tell me gently. So Dr. Hainsworth didn't know where I live, you know. We were in a new development. There's a lot of strange new streets. So we don't blame him, you know, and going up there and tell me bad news. So we did it by phone. So that was okay with me. But the company was mad. Yeah.
Was mad at him.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So Andy D. was named after, you know, Dr. A.C. Goodman signed her birth certificate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And the bank checked my Social Security when not working right there. So the Social Security was activated a couple of months. They don't, you know, accident, they don't give out. So the attorney have to register shit that she wasn't in the social, he wasn't working long enough to get a lot of money, so that's why I went to work. I'm under my Social Security, because when he died, he didn't put in enough money.
Sure, he was, yeah.
So, so Stanford hired a guy. Now you have young children, you better go and work, because I want them, I think, you want them all to go to college. So I went to work. So I got real good result from mine because we only get, he didn't work long enough and Social Security was very low. So Mr. Ballinger from the bank told me, now this education coming in, now you better, you know, do something about it. So there are a lot of good friends in Palo Alto. So that's how they all got through, you know, right? And I'm glad she's a lawyer and he has a master's degree. So, and then John has a arts in Oakland, so.
Nice, nice.
He played piano.
There clearly was no support at the time. It's becoming very
right,
evident.
That's why. And then that kind of a debt, the person insure him, double indemnity, he insured when he was at University of Minnesota. Mr. Raymond Lee gave him a present of insurance, so he got $10,000 from that insurance company, since it was accidental, they gave the full. So the firm floor have insure him equitable, so it was $10,000 he got, you know.
I'd like to add a little color. This is Dana. I'd like to say that my father moved us into a housing tract in Whittier, California, that was basically 100% white. My mother and father actually had to have a co-worker from Fluor Corporation buy the house for them because of certain racial issues that they thought any kind of people of color would bring the real estate value down in the neighborhood. So my mother had to go through several years of telling people she was a renter. The second thing is I wanted to bring up was,
excuse me, so your mother had to say she was a renter after your father had died?
No.
Before?
The first years that they moved in.
Okay. So he would be at work. She was there. Wow. Okay, thank you.
Second of all, it was a new housing tract, so all the infrastructure that was required to live was not available. In fact, I had to be bused to elementary school because they didn't even build the local school yet, Murphy Ranch. And there was a shopping center about a mile down on Whittier Boulevard where my mother would shop at Savon and Vons and whatever. But she didn't know how to drive. So when my father passed, she had to learn how to drive. Not only was she having my sister, but she had to learn how to drive. Second of all, the neighborhood really came together to help my mother. The first thing was she was definitely distraught when she heard the news from Mr. Haynesworth. And the neighbors sent me over next door, and I actually found out about my father's accident on the TV. I heard his name on the news. The next day, my uncle came down from Wasco, and he actually told me in person. But I had no clue what was going on. I just knew maybe she was sick or something. And so I really thought that the neighbors really came together to help her because her infrastructure, her family was in San Francisco, and my father's family closest was in Wasco. So it was until the next day where her support came.
See, all my family's in San Francisco. And then, you know, I didn't know how to drive. And there's no sidewalk. And the father has to walk him down before he worked to meet the carpool and be sure he gets on to school. I don't walk because I look different. There's no sidewalk. Which was good because I mean, it's so hot down there and I have to walk uphill to get home and just take him down, you know. So he walked him down and get him to school. So it was good.
How long did he stay with you, your uncle?
Actually, they had to go to Flagstaff for the memorial. So pretty much I was not required to go to the ceremony, or memorial rather, not a ceremony. Yeah. But,
after all these years.
And then my mother turned down the airfare. She took the train.
Many did.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I don't have any means, but he's volunteered to, he saw on the internet, and then I didn't even know about it, but he...
Dana Jang, interjecting again, and my brother had told me in his investigation that my father's friends who lived in Los Angeles wanted to have a memorial in Los Angeles. They were actually turned down by the Glendale Cemetery because they did not want to have an Asian sort of thing, so they went to what was it, Forest Lawn or something? The irony is that Glendale pretty much is Asian now.
You know, being the only Asian, when I go to his grammar school, oh, hi, Dana's mom, you know, that's, he's popular in that school, but you know.
Well, in Dana speaking again, the when I was going to school, I never even knew that I was Asian. It was kind of like I was part of the whole white kids. And I knew I was different because my mother left me in the car once when she was going to Vons and the or Alpha Beta or whatever. And one of the checkers who was wheeling in the shopping cart started speaking to me in Spanish. And so apparently he thought I was Mexican because that was the only other minority in
yeah,
Whittier.
That's why... The minority can buy a custom home in a neighborhood, but we weren't accepted for some reason. So that's why Sungo, most of the people from Florida engineering, there were 7 engineers that lived there. So we were, Dr. Goodman able to get us the house under his own, he's a naval officer. So he bought the house for us, and he wrote a note. This James Chan gave me the number, so be sure that the title go back to us. Wasn't he kind?
Yes, and I've heard this from another naval officer who did the exact same thing for an African American so that they could have a house and get into the equity stream, the home ownership stream.
He is a very thorough man. That's why he signed his birth certificate, you know, signed her certificate. She didn't know, he didn't know she was coming because, you know, So that's why I named her after D, after Andy D.
Nice. Dana, what do you remember about your father? You were 8 when you lost him. What do you remember?
Well, the things that I remember is that he did respect my mother's work as a mother because every Saturday he said, go out and do shopping and I will take care of Dana and John. And so every Saturday morning I was treated to pancakes that he made that were in the shape of cowboys and Indians.
He loves cowboy.
He also constructed a little quote-unquote clubhouse behind the garage for me to play in. And he actually taught me about being a good neighbor because he constructed a good neighbor fence between us and the next door neighbor that every other panel was facing each other. So it was equal, it was shared. And part of my love for baseball was my father took me to my very first baseball game. He took me to the LA Coliseum to see the Dodgers play. And he also took me and a neighborhood kid to the first year of Disneyland.
Yeah.
So he always wanted me to have, you know, the fun, you know, the
fun with children.
Yeah.
You know, Disneyland and Little League and all these, you know, children growing up, which he didn't have. You know, like baseball. He grew up with basketball. But, you know, the all-America game is baseball. So he got into the Little League.
The other thing I learned from my father is that he had a love for music. And he actually created a hi-fi system for the house. And he made his own speaker. And Although I never really got into classical music, he would be playing all these classical pieces. And so I kind of appreciated the real dynamics of a symphony. And, you know, he was basically a guy who was had varied interests. It was just, I really, you know, learned a lot from his, you know, his just variety of things that he was interested in. He's always a curious guy.
Dana, one of the things you've taught me is that your father's upbringing as a child wasn't super great. But look what an amazing father he was.
Yeah.
How did he get that? I mean, he sounds like a brilliant man.
Yeah.
I mean, no question about it. But oftentimes, as we grow up, the parenting skills that we learn as children to then take into our families, we learn in our relationship. But it sounds like his mother had to take care of the other kids, and
yes,
he was with his father, who oftentimes wasn't necessarily around.
Yeah, he had a feeling of actually abandonment because she took his two younger brothers back to China, and he was growing up in Vallejo.
Right.
And as my mother mentioned, that they went to the Jome home or whatever.
Yeah. See, he grew up with his mother being the Depression. She can only manage to. And since he came over with her alone at the age of 6, and then she came in with a paper, you know, making him, every time he worked, he got difficult because he wasn't a citizen born in America. So he had to carry that in his wallet. A 6-year-old picture ID, can you imagine? He was so mad at America.
Well, that's probably one of the reasons why he was never taken back to China, because they were afraid he may not be able to come back.
During the Depression. And he was angry at all that thing happened, you know.
Was he relocated in the war? In the Second World War, did he avoid all the internment?
That this is Deanna. That was Japanese Americans?
Yes, but a lot of people weren't willing to recognize the difference.
Right, but people in San Francisco, Chinese Americans, wore buttons that say, I'm not Japanese.
Yeah, we have to, and because we are very kind-hearted race. See, they have a Madame Butterfly store, big glass display front, but none of us throw stones since they were at war in China long before America Pearl Harbor. America never helped China until Madam Chang came and spoke, please help us. And finally, Franklin D. Roosevelt, with the three great, Great Britain and the other one, she finally let Chiang Kai-shek have some help. Because we were at war with Japan long before this. That Japan so aggressive hurt Pearl Harbor, then they step in.
Right.
See, we were fighting alone. But the Japanese, as I said, are very kind parents. They learn to keep their boundary, and then they learn not to break somebody's things. So when we were born, we would all have a receiving blanket, tie up all our hands with a safety pin, so we won't be aggressive. But, so we don't touch anything, break anybody's things. That's our background. So we never break this. Japanese store is beautiful, a butterfly. But they moved them away. They're afraid the other race would see it and stone them and blame us, you know. So they moved them to a camp. You see how the Japanese are? Mm-hmm. But the Chinese are the gentle race. But they are very kind. They wouldn't hurt a neighbor back, fight back. In America, you know, they keep to their beliefs because we were trained not to be, you know.
Well, this is Dana again. One of the things that my siblings and I, we really respected our grandparents for their courage in coming to America. And we went to Angel Island to pay homage to them by putting up a plaque. And during my visit to Angel Island, I saw the conditions in which they were under to become U.S. citizens. And I truly had the respect that they had the courage to give up all their belongings in China to come to a country where there was no, they had no, nobody, they knew no one, and they didn't have a job. And I just said, they must have been oppressed in China for them to give that up to come to the United States. So my father's parents and my mother's parents, I have a huge amount of respect for.
Absolutely. Just amazing, amazing man. This is,
but they don't understand, you know, like the immigrants of the America on the East, they don't understand the hardship of the people from the West, you know.
That's right.
Yeah.
Taught you baseball, taught you about how to share. What else?
Well, the one thing that really touched me was that my brother, because he was in the middle of a trying to conceive a child, was talking to all my father's friends about their remembrances of my father. And there was one letter that really touched me. My father was going to University of Minnesota, and he was sharing a house with other graduate students. And so he went shopping for the house with one of his members. And I had have a career in the radio business. And so my father was looking down the aisles of this store, and he's pointed to this radio, and he said to his friend, he said, "Do you have one of those?" And the friend said, "No, I don't." And my father said, "You got to buy that because it's good for entertainment and news." And I just said, my father believed in radio.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
To stay connected with news in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else?
See, he remember more things than I do. I don't remember things as much as...
Well...
But he was only 8 years old. He, you know, he remember a lot of things he does with his father.
Well, that's what's the other thing I learned from my father's friends. They would say, "Gee, you have a kind of a memory just like your father." You know? And then they would say, "Your sense of humor is kind of like your father, too." So
yeah.
I just said, well, I never thought of that.
He's a very, very kind person. And, he, you know, that's why he liked to spend a day on Saturday and let me have a holiday on Saturday. So we do it with him, see? So that's why he remembered more things of the father, you know, than I would have.
But Mom, this is Deanna. You should tell the story about your honeymoon, because I was thinking about the immigration issue and Hawaii wasn't a state yet. Remember? Mm-hmm. When my parents were getting married, my dad worked for I can't remember if it was Bechtel or it was he worked for an oil company, but he entered a contest to win a trip to Hawaii.
Yeah. He was walking to back to his office. Someone stopped him on the street and answered a few questions of Herb King. It was on Herb King, you know, the columnist of San Francisco Chronicle. He answered it correctly. And so he won the trip right there and then. And he was ready to get married to me. So he said, "I'm going to use that prize to, you know, take us to Hawaii," which was, oh God, how lucky I am, you know, to get a beautiful trip. And the trip was staying in Royal Hawaii. And that's where I saw, sitting on the lobby, the millionaire of China, Zhou Shun. And he was sitting down there when we were getting, you know, to the elevator, and then they gave me a flower. Hawaiian is very hospitable, and gave me all these flowers and everything. And just a beautiful trip he won. You know, that was really a treat, I tell you.
This is Dan again. Mom, can you tell Tom the story of when Dad was the tour guide in Chinatown?
Oh, yeah.
And how he got tips? Why don't you tell Tom that story?
Oh, yeah. He earned, you know, being a poor student, on Friday he has to work taking a China Greyhound, hire him to be a tour guide of Chinatown. So he has to walk up and down these stairs to the Jazz House and point out all the sights. And so Marion Hopkins, she's a popular movie star. So when he took her to the trip, she gave him a $5 tip. She said, guess what? I got a victim.
Wow.
Yeah.
But so, I think he also told the tourists that it was good luck if they tipped him, right?
Huh?
He also told the tourists.
He would say, it's good luck if you tip the tour guide.
Yeah, he always said that. Because he was so happy with that thing, he remembered all his, you know, he pointed out the site that they didn't know what those buildings represent. So I think they all appreciate it, because they all believe that there's a Tong War, catch it, you know, they're scared to come to Chinatown. Mm-hmm. But he walked them through himself, and nothing happened, you know. Yeah. Yeah. That was good.
That was when he was at university?
When was that? When was the tour guide? UC Berkeley?
Yeah, he was in Berkeley. Yeah, he got a scholarship to, because in Berkeley they didn't have engineering and had to take a special at University of Michigan to make up the, you don't have to have that much background to enter another phase of, you know. So a chemical engineer wasn't at Berkeley at that time. So since he got a scholarship to Minnesota, he make up the engineering at Michigan and go. So he got a beautiful education from Minnesota, yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that's why he wanted to name one of the, when he was born, everybody was so excited. And both sides of family, he was number only child, grandchild, spoiled rotten. So when John was, then we calmed down, we moved to L.A. He remembered Mr. Raymond Lee who gave him, that's why. At that time when he was, everybody wanted to name him and everybody wanted to, you know, do it with. So he was, you know, so that's why when we calmed down by, he remembered his friend Raymond, so he decided to put Jay instead of John. Yeah. So when he doesn't know about Deanna coming, that's when the crash happened, yeah.
How did you end up in treatment?
What was it?
How did you end up in treatment then?
Well, with family and neighbors, I came out after the shop trip. I mean, there was so much kindness that I overcome. It's kindness. It's a good human kindness. You see the ad about human kindness, about that two little kids, one fell down and that picking up. I look at that, I said, that's very kind. Even at that age, they're kind-hearted. That's why all the kids come out of it. They never tease these kids about anything. Except John came home. This child, Jack, you're our enemy to John. And then John came home, what is enemy, Mom? See, he was loved at school. See, nobody, they thought he was Mexican or Spanish. But John, they thought he was Japanese. So there was a difference between this child and that child. See? Yeah. So the teacher said, gosh, he's so different. So he visited his house. He already put the living room, he got this set of the Alamo, United States laws, the Mexican one. So he remembered the Alamo and Davy Crocker. He's Davy Crocker.
This is Dana again. I think Tom's question was, how did you end up in Belmont?
I didn't remember. Because I told the doctor, I said, some doctor gave me a shock treatment. And they made me get into all this water in the bathtub, turn the water on and on to give me more shock, I guess. You know, I was a non-swimmer. And that's all I remember of that Belmont. I called that place, Victor's, and my father, get her out. They treat her poorly there. I got out there from Uncle Victor. And my father pulled her out. This doctor is treating her the wrong way. They want to shock her out of, put her in things that is going to frighten her.
Dana,
that was very crude.
I'm so glad you're alive, because I've done these other interviews where the mother left with the children, committed suicide.
Oh, really?
There was no help.
Oh, really?
Nothing. So I'm just so glad you're here.
Oh, and, no, I didn't. They were trying to kill me. That's why.
Well. So
that's why without family help, I would be dead by now. So both sides of the family came to the rescue and the neighbors.
My sense is there was no assistance.
Yeah, you need a lot of help to pull out of a shock. But they go it the wrong way by frightening me to give me the shock treatment, the wrong kind of treatment.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, that's why I called the doctor. You shouldn't be practicing medicine.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's all I have to say.
Yeah. It,
because the neighbors all enjoy my children. So they have never was teased after John just got that Japanese thing. And he was well loved everywhere. So he got out of us because he looked like he said, Mexican or Spanish.
Dana, who brought you up then?
He doesn't look Asian. And
my mother. My...
Okay.
I was telling everybody during the Up movie, when the wilderness scout in the movie and his mother went up, and I thought of my mother because she was the only woman in the Boy Scout meeting.
He always tell me, now you dress up nicely, everybody know me at the school. So sure enough, when I go for a parents-teacher conference, everybody, are you Dana's mom? Yeah, everybody's happy. And Freddie Hill always offered to babysit so I can go to the meeting. That's a very lovely neighborhood. And the Mexican was able to drive by in there, amen. So that's why they thought he was, but they teased this child, Japanese, was the enemy. So that brought up, that's why he was Davy Crocker, American. See how all the children have their own miniature help to help understand the race relation. You know, how to get through school, just like they don't never have that happen to him, but John got teased because Japanese did the wrong thing. They did Pearl Harbor, make them hate them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So China is always very careful.
Dana, what changes did you see in your mom when she finally escaped, I think, or was saved from treatment, in quotes, treatment?
Well, there was a lot of frustration with my mother. She felt that there was some basic paranoia involved, that she thought there wasn't any, there was like a trust issue, like there may be somebody working against her, or it was a conspiracy or something. So I saw that she was always saying, they're taking things, or there's, it was just like she built up this imaginary group of people that were...
It's not imaginary. Even now in Palo Alto, I buy this at Walmart. I finally got mad. Even a doctor wouldn't believe it. Now, I go in with two lenses at Long, my pharmacist. Boom. I was looking for this lens. This woman was saying, what are you looking for? I said, look at this. This fell out of my, you know. So she helped me. So I wrote a note, please, if you find a one lens, please leave it here. So a few days later, I went there. There was this lens. They were kind, a neighborhood. They returned it. Hmm. They believed that someone unscrew my, this is forever gone. It looks like I'm hooking in one, just like the stocking. It disappeared. I wake up with just one pair. I mean, instead of a pair, it's only one. And then they put that disappearing act on me. And nobody I would believe it. But I was holding that glasses with a thing pulled out of my hand. So they think I'm crazy if I report it, because who else would believe your story? So I never report. I said, that's why I buy it at Walmart. I don't go to the optometrist to do that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That wasn't funny, treating me the way that they do.
No, and it's not. When you try to treat the brain with electricity, it's not an exact science.
And then they gave me sewage water. So I've been buying bottled water. Dana bought a filter for me. And they know how to bypass it. That's why this guy came all of a sudden. He's with Blackstone. My husband is an engineer. This machine was given to him in Whittier because we have a gas cooking and gas water heater and a lot of gas thing. He put two valve himself and in front of that federal housing, come to check the house. He went up to the attic, he went over the whole house already. He come with an unmarked car. So that house was inspected so that no one hurt me at home. So I felt confident that society was kind.
Good.
So when this happened of the gas leak in Palo Alto, I was dizzy. And this man flashed on Wall Street week, 7 o'clock at night. He said, next day this man came and put all kind of gadget in my water heater and in the city rental meter. He put some things there and spray all that. So there's no leak of gas coming out. So my gas bill before I come here was less $10 since he said there was a leak.
A leak, yeah, yeah. Did you have...
Because sometimes I turn off my gas, you know, here it's too hot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. since there was a gas, I don't want it to pressure when I take a shower. The gas ignite, you know, to warm up the water. So I just don't want any more leaks, you know.
Mm.
Coming in and out, you know, being married to an engineer, they tell me all these things. So I do it like, you know, crazy. But they don't believe me because I wasn't a trained person, you know.
But you knew.
Because he was so thorough with me and giving me that Blackstone, and that guy is on my side. He always don't want me to get hit with gas smell and get knocked out.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Good.
So just 2 weeks ago, there was a gas leak. So there was a man, after I see Blackstone on Wall Street Week, I knew somebody was coming to help me. So sure enough, there was a guy. Following day, he didn't tell me who it was. Everybody warned me, don't let a stranger in the house unless they're identified. But he know what he was doing. And then at night, there was a voice. Have a man say the word gas. And there was a voice right next to me. I said, gas. I'm a woman. But he said he want a man's voice. There was a man's voice. Gas. And that gas leak stopped. So there was all these kind people. So that I did, you know, they are geniuses living in Palo Alto. They know how to flip my car key, my house key out of my hand, my eyeglasses. So nobody believe it. They think I'm crazy. I lose things all the time. I said, I don't. I said, nobody would believe me. So I'm wearing this. They think I lose it and misplace it. Out of the mind. Woman, you know. There she goes again, or things like that.
Yeah.
So I would get a bad reputation. So I make a lot of keys. I hide them all over the house. And now I'm wearing it.
Good. Good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because you get, you know, they don't believe you. Just like that wolf wiped his paws white because he fooled the pigs. Yeah, not the pig or whatever, the three little pigs story.
Mm-hmm.
They fooled the wolf ate them up.
Yeah, yeah. So, Dana, how was high school for you? I mean, did anybody talk about this? Did life just go on? How did that, because you were only eight when you lost your father, so it would have been a number of years, you know, going through the rest of school. I don't think anybody came around and sort of said, do you need anything? You're just on your own.
Yes.
You and your mother.
Yes.
And your little brother, and then your little sister.
Yes.
How did you manage?
Well, my mother was very proactive. She encouraged me to learn culture by signing me up for a cotillion, which was a dancing place where, you know, you feel comfortable in a situation with having a relationship with women and dancing. She got me with male role models. She was actually a den mother and Cub Scouts, and before that, she signed me up for YMCA, and I was in the Squire and Indian Guide programs, and she also got me into Explorers when I was campaigning for student body president, she would help, you know, with my posters and, you know, with campaign stuff. And
did you win?
Yeah, but but see, when we moved to Palo Alto, I was back to ground zero. I had no equity, and so it was kind of a humbling experience, which was, I think, good for me, because I said, well, I'm not at the top of the heap anymore. I'm kind of battling it. And, of course, the competition level in Palo Alto was really quite competitive. And so I had a group of people that were way above me. They were going to, like, Harvard and Stanford and MIT. And so I was just kind of what they call the B-lane guy. And so I just kind of was the low-key guy in high school. After being the high-profile guy in Southern California.
In Palo Alto, it's very hard. I have a professor, my neighbor, first neighbor. He's a Caltech professor. And next door, they move MIT engineering. He's a doctor, Dr. Grime. Kathy's father was always very protective of the girls. And then we had Stanford, Mary Beth. She's representative of Stanford and Palo Alto. She's a librarian. So we have a lot of, and then there's Mr. Ding. He tried to protect me. So he put a little sticker on my door, security protected, you know, so nobody will bother you. So he's very, he's Mr. Ding. And then Mr. Lee, he's an engineer, so she's very nice. So then Mary Beth is kind. So I have all nice neighbor.
Yeah. Nice, nice. And Dana or Deanna, did one of you then try to do a bunch of research to learn more about your father?
My brother John.
John did?
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell me some more of the things that he found out? You mentioned a couple of those.
A few of the things is I was reading the letters from my father's friends, and most of them had a very high opinion of my father. He was sort of like a leader, actually. And my mother was telling me the story of this Uncle Eddie, who was his best friend, who was having his 100th birthday this Friday at UC San Francisco. And my father met this woman, Maddie, and he actually encouraged his best friend to ask her to dance, and eventually they became husband and wife. And so he was kind of like a very outgoing. The other thing that I've seemed to inherit from him was I have a high focus on things. When I undertake a project, I go at it completely. I'm very thorough, and that's what a lot of his friends said about him. He's very focused. And like I mentioned earlier, he has this sense of humor that is partly intellectual. So in other words, to a lot of people, my humor is a little bit above them. They kind of, it takes them several minutes to just, oh, that is funny. I just thought the one thing that my father and I share was both of us played basketball, and we were about the same ability, because I was just not a very good basketball player, and neither was he. But I just respected his passion for the sport.
To play.
Yeah, Sienna, from the letters that I remember reading, and Uncle Eddie, the person who's having the 100th birthday party, the story he loves to tell, because he just met me for the first time. Dana took me to meet him. I can't remember when it was. Was it
Clement Street?
Was it in the 90s?
No, it was just in the last 8 years or so.
Oh, okay. Wow. See, my memory's bad too. But he loves to tell the story of, you know, that my dad, he was only 5'2", and he and my dad were at this dance, and he just dared my dad to ask this, like, tall, blonde woman to dance. And my dad took him up on it and asked her to dance, and she said yes. So he seemed to have no fear and seemed to, like, have a lot of fun. But then he also had the serious side, because I remember another letter talking about how my dad told one of his friends, like, started lecturing him that he needed to study more and focus in order to do well, and that he was really worried about him. And that really impacted his friend a lot. And he you know, he took that advice to heart. Yeah. And really started studying.
Another story my mother relayed to me was that my father, when he went to college, never believed in last-minute studying. He would go to see a movie before an exam. And, of course, I did not follow my father, and I would stay up all night. And, of course, I did lousy on the exam. And, I should have followed his edict, where he just said, hey, don't, you learn as you're going through the course. You don't cram it all in the last minute, because you're not going to retain anything. Mm-hmm. And besides that, you'll be so tired that you're going to do worse on the test.
Yeah, that's why he got an A and a dean list at the University of Santa Clara. He did so well, the professor said he is on the dean's list. He's very good at Santa Clara, yeah. And then Deanna, we are very proud of her. His father took a Chicago LaSalle law. He wanted to get into law. And if he's alive, he'd be very proud of this little girl. She's very smart. She was a gifted child. She learned how to read when I took her shopping. Breck! That was a shampoo. They have a display. She says, Breck! I said, what do you see, Breck? Right at the window. Yeah.
No, it was my mom who taught me to read. I mean, my mom took me to the library before I was in kindergarten.
And then she knew all the butterfly. Yeah. We bought a little flashcard. She memorized all the names already. She's very, very, that's why the kindergarten and Dannenberg first grade, every time she does a project, she takes it home to show Mr. Dannenberg. It's very happy to have her in the school. So Dr. Haas said, I have to find the right teacher for your kids. It's different. Yeah. Yeah. Nice.
You're taking after your dad. That's very cool. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm very happy.
You're not
happy.
Taking after your mom, but still. Very, very, very
I'm
intelligent.
Very happy that she is, you know, so strong to finish and being a hard profession for a woman.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm very happy for her accomplishment. Mm-hmm. And this is on the dean list, and they tell me so many good news about him. So I'm happy too. Yeah.
You should be. You should be very proud of your children.
Yeah, those kids are all very nice, yeah. And John is on a scholarship. He dropped out of Berkeley. He says, it's too big, Mom. I wanted to go to Santa Cruz, but they won't let me in. Because it was everybody went there. So he got into Berkeley, so they thought he would be happy. But he wasn't. He wanted small. So somebody in Los Altos gave him a scholarship to go to Oberlin. That's how he got in there. So he said, since Dana was in a private school, wants sister to have that. So she got her into Oberlin. She didn't worry about sister
John
not
did it.
Having.
Yep, he did.
He knows the dean of admissions. Personally.
That's another story.
It's hard to get it. So she's smart also. She said, I will save my, you can only get one transfer in UC. She saved it for her favorite career also. So she saved that transfer back to Davis. She likes small and able to study. You know, Berkeley people are partying and all kind of stuff. So she concentrates more, not on pleasure, but on getting herself together. So she's good. And I'm glad about all the children value their own future. You know, help themselves, not worry mother. So I'm happy. Yeah. So I'm happy that they are so, you know, work so hard to be, you know, what they want to be is like a challenge. So I'm glad she's in a man's career, but I'm happy that, you know, that she did.
Don't
so
tell
well.
That to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Mom.
Deanna does have an MRS, though.
Yeah. No, but really, I think she never takes credit because I think you know, even though I wasn't born and never knew my dad, I feel really impacted by what happened and the fact that my mother raised three children by herself. I mean, I got this award from a nonprofit group that I work closely with, and I remember giving the speech and giving credit to my mom. Just being a single mom with three kids. And she scolded me afterwards. She said, why'd you say that? My brothers helped me. And sure, you know, her brothers came down once in a while, but my memory isn't really that they, you know, as Dana said, you know, she raised us. And, you know, right currently I'm a civil rights attorney. And I think, you know, and very influenced by the civil rights movement as well as the women's movement, I think, seeing what my mom went through and how she survived and, you know, learning the immigration story of my family and the discrimination they faced, you know, in housing, et cetera. I think it really was, you know, inspired me to have the career that I have now.
See, she passed the bar on the first try. It's a very difficult test. And this year to take the bar test, they change all the questions. And she passed on the first try. Her girlfriend, we don't gossip of other people, so I closed.
I should say, I'm not surprised.
I don't know. I was luckiest day. I was happiest day of my life. So I didn't have to take that bar again.
Well, it sounds like your father was a brilliant man.
Yeah, it's your a very, very difficult very test. Smart. Just like engineering.
Exactly.
Yeah, just like engineering. The father has to pass it in California. So when he went to Texas, he was older. So he go through the grandfather to just to get that certificate. So he got an extra certificate from Texas because he was in there checking Dow Chemical. He was curious about the ammonia and magnesium plant. So we went there for a short period of time, about 8 months. That's why he wore his cowboy boots. That's how we end up in Texas.
Well, this is Dana. I just want to mention one thing about my mother. The key attribute that she taught us as children is unselfishness. She basically sacrificed her own life to raise us.
Mm-hmm. No, I felt that since their father was lost and he had such a fine mind, and then most of the doctor know that they're going to be like their father and not like me doing, you know, I just have off and on, I went to these one class at a time, you know. The father forced me in Texas to go into the economic class and go at night and choral singing with the Texan. And so, you know, he encouraged me to do all these extra things to learn about the future, that they all gonna be educated, you know, different. So that's why I'm glad they are, you know, succeed and what their own goal like. I'm happy that he, you know, got a master and this one got a JD. So that's good. And John got a BA, right? Yeah.
It's not by degrees.
It's not degrees. That's right.
Well, nowadays, my whole neighborhood, the kids little. We're at Stanford. We are this, we are that. Oh, drive me crazy. They play, they always have to have red. It has to be Stanford color. Nobody can get in to play at Hollyoak without red color. So I bought a blue and gold since their father was Cal. No, get him a red one. So I've got two football helmets, one in blue and gold, one in red.
Well, Tom, let me interject again, Dana. One of the things my mom about unselfishness is the sadness that I feel is in Palo Alto, there are a lot of selfish parents now. And I think that's part of the reason why there's a lot of suicides in teens. Mm-hmm. They're not living up to their parents' expectations. In other words, it goes back decades ago when they used to have those license plate frames. My kid was a honor student at blah, 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 or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like these parents are boasting about their children. If they don't live up, these kids are feeling they're just not up to their expectations of their parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're throwing themselves in front of trains. Mm-hmm. And it's really sad because Palo Alto has some of the most productive students in the country. And I hate to see these kids with so much potential just lose it because of the parents feeling that there's a status. It's a status.
Yeah, thing. Status. They're all status.
In other words, that's the thing I respect about my mother. She let us live our dreams.
Yeah. That whole neighborhood, those little kids, you have to wear Stanford color, you know. And then I bought a basketball goal. Oh, they yell, this is Stanford, this is Stanford on the corner. I said, this isn't Stanford. I bought the goal myself. See how they went. You know, everything I buy, because we live close to, you know, I don't want them to get killed in the traffic. So I put the goal in the backyard, hidden, so it won't tease the other kids who want to come in and play. So I don't want them to get killed.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, so three dogs got killed running out the middle of the street. So I bought his favorite basketball goal in the back. Yeah. Mm. So I invite the kids to play, and John and Luke, that goes. He taught John how to do the basketball, yeah. So that was good. But I didn't like it because I have to climb up the ladder to put the 11, you know, that rope there. Oh, I said, I was real dizzy. Yeah, I'm nervous on the height, so I hook it up for them.
Yeah.
Anyway, so.
What else would you like to tell the future? This tape recording will be transcribed. It'll go into the Special Collections Archive Museum collection at South Rim. 50 years from now, someone's going to get this transcribed, or they're going to listen to this tape. And what would you like them to know about your father?
I don't know if I want to go first.
Oh. Well, obviously, we all feel there's a void in our lives without our father. But I was happy that at least the accident created the FAA, which has helped air travelers everywhere now. And so I'm saying there had to be some good from his passing. And I mean, personally, I feel cheated, but I feel that his death meant lives for so many others.
And just, I guess, I think I was stumped by your saying about my father personally, because I was thinking along the same lines. What you were saying about, it's clear from your interviews that there were no support services for the survivors. A couple of years ago, and that's how I hooked up with Wayne Ramey from the Historical Society, I was going to be in town, I was going to go visit the grave site, and I heard about the designation of the historical landmark. And he put me in touch with some people, including Mike Nelson, who wrote the book about his uncle. And we emailed a few times, and, you know, because I suffered my own loss 10 years ago. I lost my fiancé, and, you know, I still remember talking to my mom about it. I said, how did you deal with this? And she said, you have to stop talking about it, or people won't, you have to move on, or else people stop talking to you, which really stunned me. But I remember talking to Mike about what happened to my mom and how she was treated, like she had a mental illness when, you know, after I lost my fiance, you know, I went to a therapist and it just, I wasn't depressed. All my reactions were totally normal. When you lose your partner, you're going to be sad and upset.
Absolutely.
Exactly. And I was stunned that this horrible accident happened and people were just, you know, nothing. And I just hope at this point we've learned a lot. I mean, unfortunately, we saw these tragedies, whether man-made or natural disasters. And, you know, I think we've come a long way in learning how to deal with that. But it makes me feel sad to think back when this happened in the 50s that, you know, there wasn't anything and this was the reaction. I mean, I don't know why my mother was, you know, put into the shock treatment. And I would like to find out more about that. But, you know, I'm glad at this point in 2016 we know how to deal with grief. And we know that happens to all of us.
Absolutely.
Well, the thing that's really sad is every time we hear about these gun tragedies in our country, that nothing really is done about it. I mean, It's just sad that it just goes, like we become numb.
Yeah, we give our prayers, or people give their prayers, and then, you know, move on to the next one.
It was something you just taught me. I'm sort of still reading about, thinking, oh my heavens, what an incredible way to look at this. I lost my father so that others could fly in the air safely. And the people that die from gun violence can't say that yet. I lost my partner, my loved one, my father, my mother, so that people could live safely in the future. We're not there yet. But it seems like there's a lot of things that we have learned the very hard way. And one is how to deal with family tragedies as this one. We have a ways to go yet on this. Anything else?
You know, being a chemist, he fixed all his food. He sterilized, don't touch anything here, I have to do it. He sterilized everything, doesn't touch with a human hand and germ. He fixed the formula. He did everything, sterilized the pet mill top, sterilized everything. I'm not to touch it. So he's under a lot of, you know, safety, no germs kind of food, you know, with him, because San Francisco, he's even afraid of the water pipe of my father's building, so old. He didn't dare ruin it. Mm. And so I don't know, he finally moved us, and we didn't, we went to Texas, and forget it, because he's being knowing disease and germs, that he really careful with this guy.
So he was a chemical engineer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's okay. a chemical. See, he's very careful. Mm. So when he make his formula, I can't even touch it. So he sterilized this and finally Helen took the sterilizer over the other side. Mm. Yeah.
And then as soon as he went to the work to work, you know, Dana, like all children, goes playing outside and you know, has a good time. And we've learned now that exposure, actually, as children, you know, exposure to, is a good thing to bacteria.
Yeah, and how you build your resistance. I think the Asian don't let the kids play outdoor. Hmm. And I think we will all take to be homebody. And we can't disturb our neighbors because we're all so crowded together. So we were taught to be very kind to one another. So he was brought out, everything sterilized, everything all clean. This one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's how careful he is with them. I think he knows so much about germs, and he was nearly like his friend, this pharmacist, Eddie. He was studying a minor in pharmacy to learn a little bit about drugs. But he wanted to be an engineer, so that's different, yeah. Mm-hmm. But no one wanted to be an MD. I don't know why.
You did good.
Well, two of his good buddies are MD, Lawrence Yeo and Albert Young. He come with a group of all, at his age time, according to my brother, Uncle Faye, that went down when he was growing up. But his father was at the challenging, learning new things in America. So his father was different. And then the year before, after, my brother was, they were going to find it more important to learn Chinese. So my brother was in the Chinese school, more popular. And then my other brother was doing okay in American school. Uncle Victor was in that. So then my younger brother, he was in ROTC. So he helped, he got promoted because, you know, he was so proud where his ROTC. See, you were asked about ROTC when there was a Vietnam War. Well, my brother was there and he got a good job because he was pretty good at ROTC. So that's born at the time, depression, and then the war, and we can hardly get back into ourselves, you know.
So well, as far as my mother's concerned, the one thing I wanted to interject, Dana, is that she revealed to us during her upbringing that she was bullied by a woman by the name of Violet G, who basically told all my mother's friends to stay away from her. And my mother had to befriend, actually, the white kids. And so she basically had a very difficult upbringing.
Yeah. Oh, my. See, I was a teacher pet. And my teacher take me to movies and take me to give me be a monitor, correct math paper. She taught me the secret of the answer. And I correct paper. And this fellow from China, Chinese, very good at math. He looked at me. He was mad at me. So the whole class was mad at me because I was correcting paper. It wasn't my choice, you know. So it's bad. Mm. Don't be a teacher's pet.
That's not the lesson to learn.
Yeah. Well, thank you so very much for your time today.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry the story is so funny.
You know, laughter is a medicine.
Yeah, it's hard to live in our country and brought up, you know, in close quarter. And we have to be very polite to each other so we don't hurt each other. So even now, my neighbor behind me, we have all these trees. And I'm forever, since they were so racist, don't sell to minority. I try to prove them we just want to be as clean as you are. So I volunteer and sweep all the label names. And my other neighbor, walking her two big gigantic dogs. What are you doing outside? You stay in the seat. She's very kind. She's my gardener is coming today. I'm gonna ask him to clean it for you.
Mm.
Now, isn't that nice? Mm.
Yeah.
They're all very kind neighbors. Mm. So I'm glad.
That's huge.
Yeah. But still there's dirty water in the city of Palo have gas leak. So they make my life so miserable and my personality change. And nobody would believe me because I never complain.
Mm.
Nobody would believe it, you know.
Hmm.
Like that guy yelled, gas, all of a sudden it disappeared. And then he helped me by making life pleasant, by buying me that filter so your water wouldn't be so bad. But the insurance company knew there was some bad things coming down my street sewage water.
Hmm.
That bypass, there was a lot of noise every day regenerating the water. And it's unbearable living in that house, I tell you. But he make it pleasant for me every way. He bought the filter, so I did. But then the insurance company said, no, better buy bottled water, drink bottled water. Don't trust them. It'll bypass. Some days it'll be bad.
Hmm.
That's when they roam that noise all night for to regenerate.
Hmm.
Because I used to do rock salt and regenerate at 3 hours in my old house so I don't have to use chemical to clean the tile.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, get the chemical when the kids take shower, they're going to breathe all that, they're going to get cancer. So we bought this permeable, $169, and every 10 days I have to buy rock salt from them, and I have a station wagon. He said, you able to lift it out of the station wagon? I said, just shuffle up to his little wagon, and then wheel it out. So I was able to regenerate every 10 days of water. It's very clean. See, being me America, I mean, being married to a chemical engineer, he's very safety. So Blackstone is safety. So I'm here today on account of those two safety experts helped me.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of good friends and a lot of bad ones. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm very happy everybody is healthy. That's all.
Wonderful.
Money can't buy health when you suffer pain and, you know. So I think every day we thank God that we are healthy.
And remind me again, how old are you?
Yeah.
How old are you?
90. 91, yeah.
Very good. Yeah. Wonderful.
Well, they're all big help to me. Otherwise, I would... Yeah,
wonderful.
They make life pleasant, so the neighbors are nice, so that's why I stay there. Yeah, they all notice things, even newcomers, the problem of our neighborhood. So they're all very kind, every one of them. Yeah.
Nice. Nice.
So I'm very lucky. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Dana, thank you.
Thank you.
Dana, thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll have a signing ceremony now. I'll turn this off.
Okay.
And I'll give this to the lawyer to read, actually.
Yes.